Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Well, it's a freaky Friday, folks, here at One Bills Drive. We'll get into why in just a minute, but there's a look at New Era Field, the brand new turf, just waiting for players to arrive, probably about, what, a couple of weeks' time? Actually, a week and a half. I think players got to be in about a week and a half, or at least they'll be flying into town as they get set for training camp. The countdown is on. We're doing that on BuffaloBills.com. But it's Chris Brown with you, flying solo, and I assure you, folks, this was not planned. Steve Tasker comes in this morning, and he looks like death warmed over, folks. Sweating profusely, basically did not get here on his trip in from his house without incident. Had to pull over and take care of an upset stomach, and then got here and had more of an upset stomach, and ran the risk of... He ran the risk of actually having other people, the domino effect that can happen with an upset stomach, if people know what I mean, people witnessing people with an upset stomach then in turn have an upset stomach. So fortunately that did not happen, and we actually have people running a show here today on One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. So yeah, I'm flying solo here for the show, but we have a good show put together. I'm just going to need a little bit of your help at 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. So do not hesitate. Do not be shy about contributing to the program today. I'll be more than happy to have anybody with a coherent thought, let alone a good take on what we're going to discuss today. And, you know, in addition to our Twitter poll, we've got a bunch of other topics because, believe it or not, even though this is kind of the dormant period for the NFL these first couple of weeks in July, there are a lot of things going on, not only around the league, but on the NFL calendar. And I'll get into that later here in this opening segment. But I do want to get to the Twitter poll and kind of set the table for you there, because we've talked a lot about the expectations for Josh Allen in year two. And everybody has their opinion on what they believe he should be capable of, even though a lot of things have to take shape around him, chiefly the offensive line and the new receiving core, which has turned over by more than 50%. The offensive line, at least from a starting five perspective, will turn over by an amount of 80% in terms of people in new places from 18 to 19. But what we want to address is Josh himself in terms of the best traits that he brings to the table as the quarterback of this football team. And what I mean by that is we're talking about the things that make him what I think all of us believe is a franchise signal caller for many years to come for this squad. And so the choices that we gave all of you on the Twitter poll in terms of Josh Allen's best trait: one, competitive spirit; two, his athleticism and playmaking ability; three, his leadership; and then we left the fourth one to the all-important other. If you feel there is another thing that Josh possesses in his character traits that's worth voting for instead of those other three. And I know I'm not surprised that right off the bat nobody can really come up with another trait. I'm not surprised that athleticism and playmaking is currently standing out right now, only because I think that is the most readily recognizable trait in Josh's game. And quite frankly, it was all that was talked about, you know, going into the 2018 draft, that Josh was this physical anomaly in terms of arm strength, in terms of being able to extend plays with his legs and make some of the impossible plays happen due to his arm strength and ability to just simply chuck it down the field. People have identified him by his athleticism since he first came on the NFL radar in his first full season as a starter at the University of Wyoming. So it doesn't surprise me at all that people point to that and say that is his best trait, because those traits, I think you could argue, give the Bills a chance in just about any game that is a one-score game that they are in if he has a chance with the football at the end because of those things. Believe it or not, I voted for something else. I voted for competitive spirit, because having covered this team for just about 25 years now, if you can believe it, I've seen a lot of quarterbacks come through the doors here at One Bills Drive over the course of covering this team. And you've had them in all different shapes, sizes, and character makeup. And while athleticism and playmaking is super important, I mean, you have to have the physical skill to hang at this level. I think competitive spirit at that position is critical. And I'll tell you why. The first person, former quarterback-wise for the Bills, for me anyway, that comes to mind is Trent Edwards. Trent Edwards had enough athleticism and playmaking ability, super smart guy, but when it came to competitive spirit and wanting to win more than anything else, I don't know that he had it, much like you see in Josh Allen, much like you see in even some of the other quarterbacks around the league. I mean, Baker Mayfield might chew his finger off if it means the difference between winning and losing, you know, as long as it's not his thumb or his forefinger that helps him throw the football, maybe on his left hand. You know, I think John Elway would have run through a wall to win rather than lose. His competitive spirit was legendary. And just ask people in Cleveland about him, and they'll tell you what his competitive spirit was like. Trent Edwards, unfortunately, at least in my estimation, doesn't measure up in the competitive spirit category. And that's what ended his time here in Buffalo, because when Chan Gailey was the coach, he inherited Trent Edwards and a newly signed Ryan Fitzpatrick as a free agent. And Trent was set to be the starter going into that season. I think it was 2010. The team wasn't expected to do a whole lot. And with a team not expected to really be super competitive in terms of playoffs, you wanted to see some gusto from the quarterback that was starting for your offense. And by week two, it was readily apparent to Chan Gailey that the competitive spirit was not there. And it was confirmed in week two at the end of a game against the Packers in Green Bay. They're down 34-7. It's fourth down. The Bills have the ball. And Trent Edwards, instead of just chucking the ball to the end zone in a game that's already lost to take a chance on maybe scoring, he ran out of bounds. And as soon as he did that, I was stunned, and I looked directly at the sideline at Chan Gailey, and just looking at the look on his face, I said to myself, Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be starting for this team sooner than anybody thinks. And he was actually named the starter the very next week. And so that's why I look at competitive spirit, and seeing all of that kind of transpire and take place. And then for people that remember Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're going to remember that one of the best things that Fitz had was competitive spirit. He had enough athleticism, but his competitive spirit is what made him a quarterback that you could win with, along with his intelligence. And it's why he's still in the league, quite frankly, because players rally behind him for that. Looking at other quarterbacks that came down the pipeline here before Josh Allen, J.P. Lossman had athleticism and playmaking ability. I mean, the guy could run. He could throw it a mile. And he had competitive spirit. It was important to him to win. Where he came up short was in the leadership category. JP just wasn't the guy that could bring a room together. He wasn't a guy that could lead maybe in a way that engaged people and inspired them to raise the level of their own game. JP was almost competitive to a fault. He wasn't competitive in a collaborative way. He was competitive in an individual way. Like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make this happen, and I'm going to, you know, help win games. That's not to say he wasn't a good teammate, but I just think he went about the leadership part of his job in a very individualistic way, and I think it rubbed some people the wrong way, and it made it hard for people to get behind him and help him succeed. And I think that's an underrated part of Josh's character traits. And we didn't really see it a whole lot early on as a rookie because I think he was feeling his way. He had to focus on himself. But then once he was established as the starter down the stretch last season, I think we saw more of those leadership qualities come out of Josh. And now that he is entrenched as the starting quarterback here in year two, I think we're seeing it even more. And he has a very engaging personality. He's easy to mess around with, joke around with. He likes being one of the guys. He doesn't exalt his abilities above anybody else on the roster. He just wants guys to come along with him. And that's the key to leadership at the quarterback position. It's not about follow me because I can do A, B, C, and D that most other people can't. It's, hey, I want to win some games. Come join me and help me do that. And that's the approach that Josh has with his teammates, and I think that's why it's a very deserving thing to list here, number one, and I think it's an undervalued part of Josh's game, number two. You can let me know what you think at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. So we're asking today, what is Josh Allen's best trait? We know what the expectations are here in year two, but what main trait that he possesses is going to help vault him, you know, to that next level that everybody's hoping that he reaches, you know, as a quarterback here in year two, the franchise guy for the Bills. On the phones, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You can also hit us up on the tweet sheet. But we do have a caller here in the early going, so we'll get to him. It's Mike in Brockton. And let's see what Mike has to offer to the show today. Mike, you're on One Bills Live. What do you got for us?
I just think that, you know, Josh Allen's really got to improve his accuracy coming into this next season to get to that next level of quarterback.
Right. I mean, but are you voting for other in terms of what you think his best trait is, or is there a trait here that you think is currently the best one in his arsenal?
Well, currently his best trait would be his athleticism. I mean, he's a great runner.
Right. Yep. I'll give you that. Do you think he's going to run more or less this year?
I think that this year he's going to run a lot less. I mean, they're trying to build the offensive line around him. You see they're putting some pieces around to actually protect him. He'll have some more time in the pocket.
Yeah. All right, Mike. I mean, I don't disagree with you. The accuracy does have to be better. I was encouraged by what I saw from him in the spring. And I've said this several times on this show, but just to reiterate, you know, I felt that his ball location was a lot more consistent in the spring practices, and I realized that that is not real football. He doesn't have a 255-pound defensive end that runs a 4.5 40 screaming off the edge at him, and I know that his passer rating did suffer when he was under pressure as a rookie last year, but I think that's the case for every quarterback in this league, no matter how much experience they have. So to see it drop off for a rookie is not surprising. But I will say that his accuracy and ball placement was better in the spring. And I think what is also important with respect to his passing was he was developing and diversifying the kinds of throws he was making. It wasn't just, let me just throw the fastball every single time. He now has a touch throw that was on display in the spring practices. He also has an anticipatory throw, where he'll loft it up and drop it over the shoulder of somebody deep down the field. So seeing him diversifying his passing abilities while also improving his ball location. And look, we're not talking out of school here. It's not like Josh knows that he has to sharpen his mechanics to make them more consistent. It's something that he works on pretty arduously when he goes back to Jordan Palmer's QB Summit in California. Now, Josh was recently on Sirius XM Radio, and I think our people in the back have this ready to roll, but when you talk about his competitive spirit, his leadership. I think these are things that come out in a lot of the recent interviews that we've heard from him. And I think it's because he knows that his athleticism and playmaking ability are already a respected part of his game based on what he put on the field as a rookie. But as far as his competitive spirit and leadership, I don't know if it's as widely recognized. So it's interesting because in the last few interviews and times I've heard him in one-on-one interview situations, I've heard more of that competitive spirit and leadership coming out of him in the answers that he's providing. So let's listen to the SiriusXM radio answer that he gave with regard to those two traits. Do we have that, guys?
In getting, you know, coercion with our guys that we just brought in. You know, John Brown, Cole Beasley, talk with Mitch Morris and John Feliciano and Quentin Spain and all these guys that we've added to our team, just trying to develop that chemistry and that camaraderie that we need to have to be successful. So it's been off the field stuff a lot, especially some of these guys are, you know, come back from injuries and things like that. But going back to your question, it's staying hungry. You know, I know that there's a lot of things that I missed on last year, a lot of dumb plays going back and watching film that just were like, why did I do that? What was I thinking? But learning from those and then going into next season and trying to apply what I've learned onto the field.
You know, you talked about the injury, and we learned a lot about your athleticism. I think a lot of people that saw Josh Allen coming to the National Football League, all they knew about was the great arm that was coming out. Didn't know you could run the way you did.
I didn't know either.
You learned about yourself. But this is a league about availability. And you watch guys like Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning. They play every weekend. And sometimes it's because it's not about getting that extra yard, making that extra play, but making a smart decision. What did you learn, and how frustrating was it to watch from the sidelines?
It was tough. You know, I wanted to be out there with my guys competing. And if there's one thing about me, I'm probably the most competitive man in the room at all times. Like, I want to win at everything. I want to be out there. I want to be playing. And that's where it kind of comes to that push and pull where that athletic ability, can I get one more yard? Can I get the first down? But is it smart to do it? Is it smart to put my shoulder down and maybe take a hit and hold on to the ball an extra second? So it's that balance where sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes there's no need to do it. Sometimes the smart play is the best play.
So it makes it an interesting discussion point here for us today, because as important as Josh's character trait of competitive spirit might be in terms of lifting the team up, when you see him in week 3 hurdle Anthony Barr in the Minnesota game, I mean, if there was a camera shot of the sideline when that happened, the Bills sideline, after he made that play for a first down, you would have been shocked. I mean, it's like Joe Carter hit the Grand Slam in Game 7 of the World Series. That's what the Bills sideline looked like, the Blue Jays fans, when that happened in the World Series. They're all jumping up and down. They're hopping off the bench. They were going bananas. It put a charge in the entire team, offense, defense, special teams, because they saw a quarterback willing to do whatever was necessary to keep a drive alive. Forget about winning a game. I mean, that's in the first half of that football game when that happened. But you want to talk about a fired up group. Every single player in a uniform was ready to go out and do whatever they could to try to win that game too. And that's where the competitive spirit is valuable to a team. But I find it interesting, Josh calls himself the most competitive man in the room at all times. Now the challenge for Josh with that built-in inherent competitive spirit is having the intelligence on when to be that competitive and lay out for his team, and when to be smart so he can stay on the field for his team. So as great a trait as it is, it's a very good thing that here only in year 2 of his career, he's already balancing the risk-reward element of his competitive spirit so he can stay on the field for his team and not get injured. So there's an extra layer to that competitive spirit. And right now, there is a little bit of a shift in the Twitter poll, although athleticism and playmaking still leading the way. Leadership's getting a little bit more of the piece of the pie here. And I think now in year 2 as the entrenched starter, he can be the leader that they need him to be at the quarterback position. And everyone has said so, whether it's LeSean McCoy, who's been in the league for 10 years, or a rookie tight end like Dawson Knox. They all unequivocally say, Josh is the guy, he's running the show. And now, with that kind of cachet, I think Josh's leadership traits are emerging all the more. Let's go back to the phones at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, as we discuss what we feel Josh Allen's best trait is as he enters Season 2 for the Bills. And we go to Bob in Cheektowaga. Bob, you're on One Bills Live. What do you have for us today?
Hey, I like to point that the kid can play in cold weather, and his strong arm in Buffalo is going to be his best trait. And now he's got the weapons to prove that. Last year he had to take some, put some balls down and run. But I think with the weapons he has now, and now he's just getting familiarized with these guys like, you know, Foster and that. I just think that his strongest trait is going to be his arm. And I think it's just going to be in the winter and in the wind. And it's going to make such a difference. I don't think we've had that since Kelly, somebody who can just fire the ball the way he does. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And I do love his leadership. I do think he will have good leadership. But he's a guy who's just got it. And I think that now that he has the weapons and can throw in the wind and the snow, look out. I like him.
All right. I appreciate it, Bob. A lot of good things there. I think, you know, while I agree with you that he's certainly equipped to play no matter the weather conditions due to the arm strength, you're 100% right about the leadership when you say he's just got it, because he does. The leadership part of the job responsibilities of quarterback come very naturally to Josh. It's not a heavy lift for him, and for some people it is. They just don't know how to rally a room, rally a group of guys to play at their best at all times. And Josh just has a way of engaging with people and teammates that make people want to perform at their best all the time. And that's a valuable thing, because when it doesn't have to come out of the mouth of the coach every time, and it's coming from the guy that's lining up with you, who's willing to do anything to win games, it's a powerful motivator. And in a league where bodies are aching and hurting, and sometimes guys' bodies are telling them no, when they see a quarterback on their team doing things, it convinces them to say yes and go the extra mile. So a good call there from Bob, and I can't disagree. Now, with respect to his ability to play in bad weather, let's take a look very quickly at the 2019 Bills schedule, okay, as we get into the latter part of the season. Really, you're looking at Cleveland November 10th. Okay, that has the potential to be a bad weather game, but you're at Miami November 17th. That's not an issue. Denver here, just before Thanksgiving, could be a weather-related game. Ravens in Baltimore December 8th, probably not. Cowboys, no. Steelers December 15th, yeah. That could be an issue. That could be a weather game. Certainly at the Patriots, late December, that could be a weather game. And obviously here against the Jets, December 29th, that could be a weather game. So you're talking probably about four or five games where weather could have an impact on the game plan if you don't have a player, of the physical ability of Josh Allen to still keep your passing game intact regardless of the conditions. So it's a valid point, and I'm not going to be one to dismiss it for sure. Let's go back to the phones, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, as we discuss the best traits of Josh Allen. I need you to pick one, and if you want to have a 1 and 1A, that's okay too. But we go to Jim down in Greenville, South Carolina. Jim, first thing I want to ask you is, are you going to make it out to the joint practices down there in August?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to be there both days with my family, rooting the Bills Mafia. Giving total support to the team. I'll be there.
All right, that's great. We appreciate you representing down there. We'll have to keep an eye out for you. But what do you have for us here?
Well, I obviously, the trait that's going to be most improved that I see will be Josh Allen's leadership skills and the development of him picking up these defensive schemes. I was very impressed with his interview with Sims when he did that interview.
Right.
And seeing that he was going to pick up on the secondary and covering those blitz packages. And I'd love to see. That'll prevent him from having to come out of the pocket and scrambling and running for his life. I believe that he'll have a better pocket presence even before the play even starts, if he can pick up those schemes on the blitz coverages.
All right. Well, that sounds good to me, Jim. Hey, listen, thanks for the call, and we look forward to seeing you down there in August. Just do me a favor. Try to see what you can do to cut the humidity back. I know that's a big ask in August down there, but see what you can do on that, all right?
Absolutely.
We are going to melt down there in middle August in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and then in Charlotte. That's going to be a hot and humid week for sure, and we're not even going to be wearing the pads and the helmets. But Jim is, you know, he referenced the Chris Sims interview when Sims came in here. I want to say it was for either Pro Football Talk or NBC or one of the many media arms that he seems to be working for these days. And he was on the field, and they were just kind of throwing the ball around. He was kind of picking Josh's brain to see how he processes things pre-snap, and it was an interesting peek inside the way Josh's brain works. And for only a year in the league, I think it was a very encouraging sign to hear the feedback from him and what he's looking at and how he can multitask in those situations when the play clock's winding down and he's trying to get a bead on what the defense is going to be running. At the same time, I'm inclined to agree with Jim, you know, provided the offensive line comes together, and that is an if that we all have to accept and understand. But pocket presence is going to be an interesting thing to watch in Josh's game in year two, because logic says, with the firm grasp of the offense that he now has, with his exposure to NFL defenses, with his 11 starts last season, he should be able to better diagnose things. I mean, he even said when he was interviewing with Chris Sims, that first start that I had against the LA Chargers here at home, he was completely scatterbrained. He didn't know what was coming at him. And, you know, like Steve Tasker likes to say, he was drinking water out of a fire hose and he wasn't catching it all. And they were sending Derwin James, the rookie safety, at him on safety blitzes, and he was running for his life, quite literally. But he did say it all slowed down for him by the time he got to the end of the year. And I think the production that he put up against the Dolphins here at the end of the season was a testament to that, one of his most productive games. So I think where we're headed, when you have a firm grasp of the offense and then you more often than not can diagnose what you believe is coming from the opposing defense, that gives you a sense of calm and provides you with the confidence to maybe hang in that pocket for an extra quarter of a second to half second to deliver the ball and let your receiving target get open and make a play. And if that happens on a consistent basis, well, now he's making more plays from the pocket. He's running less and probably taking less hits unless he does hold on to the ball too long. But this is a guy that can also extend plays because of that athleticism. So believe me, all these traits are good things. I just want to know which one you feel is his best and will help the Bills in terms of pushing this team forward in the win column. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to get on the horn and weigh in with what you feel is Josh Allen's best character trait in terms of translating into Bills' success in 2019. We haven't even touched the tweet sheet, so we'll get to that. So tweet in if you can't call in, and we'll be sure to mention those and discuss. We'll be doing that on the other side, but not before we speak to one Lorenzo Alexander, as he will be live from Arizona, where he is training arduously with a couple of his teammates. We'll talk to him about that and a whole lot more here on One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. That music can only mean one thing. One Lorenzo Alexander is on the show via Skype. as he is working feverishly on his NFL regular season body down in Arizona, where he informed me it is already a nice dry but steamy 97 degrees at 9:30 a.m. Lorenzo, how are we doing? You got a towel by you? You got your John Thompson towel with you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Chris. Got a little sweat going already this morning. We just moved into our house that we plan on transitioning to after I finish playing ball. So there's still a lot of work to be done, a long honey to do list. And so I'm up early working, making sure I'm getting ready for the football season. But it's definitely been a fun time being able to get away a little bit and come out here to AZ with some of the guys as well.
Yeah. How are you working a honey do list with how are you combining that with getting ready for an NFL season? I mean, that's a full time job by itself.
Everybody does it. You do it. Everybody that has kids or whoever's married, everybody, you know, has to get the list done. But it comes with practice. You know, me and my wife have been married 11 years now. And so I haven't mastered it, but I've gotten a lot better. So I get up early, take the kids to school, start knocking out some of the list around, and then work out around 10 o'clock every day. And then after that, come back and finish the list, get the kids, and it becomes a cycle. It becomes a way of life. But it's just like having a 9-to-5, just like everybody else, and doing that part with the family.
I know that if there is one advantage to having a house out in the desert, you got no lawn to cut, right? You got just a rock bed out front or something?
You are able to grow grass in Arizona. We do have a lot of rocks as well. It's really cool. It's different than, you know, some of the places I've lived before, where it's much more green. But we have some grass in the back, but we also have that artificial turf as well.
So yeah, there you go.
Because I really don't want to cut grass at all. I grew up cutting it, and if I don't have to, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that one at all. All right, so, you know, you mentioned how, you know, you've got teammates out there. I think a lot has been made about Josh's plans to try to get with some receivers and some tight ends in the downtime between the end of minicamp and the start of training camp.
Yeah.
But you're out there with a couple of guys, too. I know Eddie was out with you.
Right.
And who else do you have lined up to kind of work on some things?
Right, Eddie Yarbrough's out here, Trent Murphy's here, Shaq Lawson, and we plan to get together. They've already done so. I've kind of been in and out of town, but next week especially, just to kind of start working some hands, getting some movement going as far as some pass rush technique, and really just kind of cut on each other and help build each other's game. But as you know, Arizona is a hotbed, and a lot of guys come down here. We also, I know Levi Wallace is in town, Ryan Lewis is here. EJ Gang. So it's a lot of guys in town that are working together, working out, and definitely preparing themselves for this upcoming season.
Now, explain to me, Lorenzo, the run-up to camp. What's the best approach that you've found that works for you over the years? Is this a situation where you run up and peak as you get to camp, or do you kind of gear it down to kind of save your body a little bit for camp?
Yeah, you know, obviously my off season is year round, really kind of preparing myself, and I really grind it. So like right after the season, I'm chilling. And then when OTAs, off season work is about to start, I really start hitting the heavy weights. And then as I have built that great foundation this summer, I really transition to more speed and being explosive, being football ready. And I already have the conditioning and some of the change of direction stuff down. So I'm really just fine tuning as I get ready to go to camp. So I come in, I'm fluid, move well, I'm rested. And then you don't really want to start peaking until you start getting around maybe a week before the first game. And so you don't have those dead legs that a lot of guys talk about. And a lot of it's just through trial and error, but because I do believe a lot of young guys feel like, oh, I just got to grind, be ready. And then you're tired, and then you have a training camp, and then by the time the first game comes around, it really takes you 2 or 3 weeks maybe to get your legs back. So I kind of ramp up slow going to training camp. Obviously, I'm in shape and all that stuff. But as far as being like full throttle, I expect to be hitting all cylinders by the time the first game starts.
Talking to Lorenzo Alexander here on the Lowdown on One Bills Live. And I know you already got yourself out of the conditioning test. So my question is, have you already purchased your lawn chair to sit on the sideline and watch everybody else do that with a cup of lemonade in your hand? Or
Yeah, I'm not gonna sit on the sideline, but I do plan to have the belt on and maybe even my shirt off and just kind of cheering the guys on and you know and obviously giving them motivation by the way I look and wearing the belt while they're running their test.
That's right. Yeah, I would pay to see that. I would pay to see that because that's usually one that's closed to the media. We're not privy to that, so maybe we have to get the team photographer, get Bill Whippert out there to take some photos of that because that's priceless stuff right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, the tweak this year to training camp is obviously the joint practices. You know, you guys are pretty much going to spend Monday through Friday in the middle of August down in the heat and humidity of, you know, Spartanburg, South Carolina, and then going up at the end of the week to Charlotte. So when I talked to Brandon Bean about it, you know, he said when we were putting this itinerary together, it was before even the 2019 schedule came out, and he said there was a concerted effort to try to find a way to get you guys exposed to some heat in the event that you had an early season game either down in Miami or somewhere like that. That might – I don't know if that's overthinking it, but just your thoughts on the joint practices in general.
I'm not a big fan of them. Over the years, it's always a fight. Guys aren't really looking out for each other because the guy that you're competing against isn't on your team. I understand from the coach's perspective, it gives them really two more opportunities to evaluate young guys who they don't quite know or trust yet in game-like situations. Mm-hmm. And this really amps up the competition value. So from a coaching perspective, it makes sense. But then, you know, from a player's perspective, I'm also thinking, okay, well, I just grinded whatever it's going to be, Tuesday, Wednesday, mm-hmm. and now I have to go and compete against these guys for my job, you know, on, I think we play on Friday or Saturday, whatever it may be. That's a lot on the body. That's a lot to ask for. So, you know, I'm kind of torn through it. I see it both sides.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been a part of teams that don't have them, and you're still very successful. And as far as getting acclimated to the heat, it's 2 days, so I'm not going to acclimate because we may play Miami – you know, week two or week three, and that's really my body has forgotten what that heat feels
right.
like. So it's really not helping me 3 weeks or a month later from 2 days of working the heat. So, overall, I don't like them, but I understand why coaches try to put them within the schedule.
And if there is one positive, and Coach McDermott has said this, you know, he said part of the reason that we felt this was worth doing is because of the relationship that he has with Ron Rivera, having worked under him before. And he said, I have full confidence that he's not going to tolerate any shenanigans out there on the practice field, and neither am I. But when it's 98 and the humidity is 80% and you got 10, 15 pounds tempers of pads fly. On, things change a little bit, right?
Right. Tempers definitely fly, and it only takes one guy to get upset and do something that's somewhat dirty, and then it's going to be retaliation all day. Obviously, both of our head coaches in Rivera and Sean are very, I would say, disciplinarians in a way. And I know they'll lay down the law before it happens. But when things are flying and, you know, somebody does something that's out of pocket, you have to stand up. And so and then you deal with whatever consequences after the fact, especially if somebody, you know, takes a cheap shot on one of your teammates. I'm running out there. I don't care what has been said because my first job is to protect my teammate.
Right.
And then after that, I'll deal with the consequences if there are any to be dealt.
So, you know, we're looking at today on the Twitter poll, we're looking at Josh Allen's best trait. And, the three that we picked were competitive spirit,
right,
athleticism/playmaking, and leadership. Mm-hmm. Do you have one that – I mean – The athleticism and playmaking is leading the way right now, and that's not surprising because I think that's how Bills fans identify with Josh. It's the most recognizable part of his game. But can you just give me an example of how you feel his leadership traits have been able to emerge and develop now that he is the entrenched guy on the offensive side of the ball?
I mean, I think you said it right there. Being designated the guy from jumpstart, he's competing, but he knows he's the man. And so I think guys can naturally, instead of trying to say, well, I wonder who's going to be the starting quarterback. You know, is it going to be AJ? Is it going to be him? Is it going to be Nate? We know Josh is the guy.
Right.
And he's earned that right based on what he does. So now guys know who the leader is on the offense, and he's really been able to grow into that role and really get all the reps, do the things like he's doing, flying guys out to wherever he is so he can work out in the offseason. all those little things that once you know you've been kind of, you know, handed the reins a little bit, that you can really dive in and really take over and really be the leader you are without feeling like you're stepping on anybody's toes and claiming something that's not necessarily yours yet. You know what I mean? So it's been great to see him do that. He even started doing that last year. But what I would add in another one, I would just say his growth from year one to year two, especially just watching in OTAs, is his touch on the football as well as his placement. And I've been really watching him closely because obviously whatever he does this year is going to have a huge impact on how successful we are. And I've definitely seen jumps in his game as far as just being a passer and putting the ball where it needs be, as well as putting that touch on it as well, which I think people will be pleasantly surprised with this year.
Now let me flip it over to the other side. Talking to Lorenzo Alexander here on the Lowdown on One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Lorenzo out in Arizona on Skype. So you talk to the DBs in the spring. All they're talking about is getting more takeaways and getting back to the takeaway success that they had in 2017. You talk to the D-line. What do you want to do? They talk about better red zone defense, better goal line defense this season, you know, more field goals, fewer touchdowns kind of thing. But give me the overarching thing that is on or at the top of the to-do list for this defensive unit, because the continuity is already built in. You got 10 of 11 starters returning from last year's squad. So what do you think is the overarching priority as you guys head back to camp for the defensive side of the ball?
You know, for me, it's all about mindset. Obviously, we have the talent. We have the tools, the scheme, and because we've been successful, but it's about mindset. And we can't rely on, and we've been successful these last two years defensively, but we can't rely on that moving forward like we've done before. We were number two defense, you know, overall last year, and just rest our hands on that. So what we need to do is continue to strive, continue to get better, and not necessarily have a barometer based on how well we play our offense every day in practice, but have a high standard of, you know, we want to get three interceptions every day. We want to hold the offense, our standard may be 1 yard per carry. We want to get, you know, half a yard per carry. We want to be the best in the league, the most dominant. And I think if we have that mindset, we definitely have the tools and the personnel to go out there and accomplish that. But we have to have that mindset of not being just okay with being good enough to win the game. No, we want to be dominant because we never know when we may need that extra cushion, when our offense may need to be picked up. Right. And we definitely want to prime ourselves during training camp to have that mindset. So when we start, you know, that first week in New York, we're ready to roll.
Last one I have for you, even though it's an off day from camp coming up here in August, it's going to be an appearance for you and your Aces Foundation Saturday, August 10th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Bell Center, which is on Maryland Street in Buffalo for people that don't know. But maybe just talk about what you guys are doing with your Wellness and STEM Festival.
Yeah, it's really just an opportunity, again, to partner with the Bell Center, an organization that I had an opportunity to meet a couple of years ago. Miss Lucy down there is doing a great job already in the community as far as providing resources to the youth as well as their families. And I'm just trying to add on and bring a more awareness to what they're doing and more resources. And so what we've decided to do, which we started last year and to really just repeat it, is to bring in health providers, you know, from checking your blood pressure, doing like a basic physical.
Yeah, health screenings, right? Yeah.
Health screenings, right. We'll also be having people coming in doing like ovarian cancer screenings as well. And then the STEM portion as well, providing that, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math to about 100 kids, you know, 50 middle schoolers, 50 high schoolers locally in the area, partnering with Erie County with that. And just providing those resources and educational moments and opportunities to relate with the community and get out there. We'll have food and games as well and giveaways and free haircuts. So we definitely want to encourage the community to come out and let people know about it. That would definitely be able to benefit from having that type of availability to obviously the health screens, which is very important for everybody, and the academic piece as far as just coming out and checking the STEM, because we will have a STEM in the library that's open to everybody and not just a select 100 kids that we have invited already.
Yeah, that is a free event, free and open to the public, we should mention. And there also are going to be, as Lorenzo said, some prizes and some giveaways. I know there's going to be a raffle to win tickets to a Bills home game, as well as memorabilia and other prizes. So certainly a good event to keep on your calendar. That's Saturday, August 10th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Bell Center, the ACES Foundation Community Wellness and STEM Festival, the second annual. And Lorenzo, you'll be there yourself, I'm sure, kind of interacting with the kids as you usually do, usually passing around from person to person.
As well as other of my teammates as well.
So yeah. All right. Good. Yeah. Supporting. So some teammates coming out, too, along with you. So that's great. All right. I won't bother you anymore here, Lorenzo. I will let you enjoy the rest of what's left of your summer vacation. But we will see you up here in the not too distant future. Look forward to that with camp getting underway very soon. So thanks for taking some time here today.
All right, Chris, I'll see you in about a week or so.
That's right. All right, that's Lorenzo Alexander here on the Lowdown on One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. We will take a break, but we'll be back with more discussion on Josh Allen's best character trait and some interesting deadlines coming up in the NFL concerning franchise players. There is still some guys that have not only not signed their tag, but might be nowhere near a long-term contract extension. We'll discuss that on the other side. Here on One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown with you flying solo today. Steve Tasker under the weather. John Murphy on a lake somewhere fishing. So you got me today. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Already had some good calls today here in the first hour of the program as we're taking you all the way to 3 p.m. in the afternoon Eastern time. And we're talking about Josh Allen's best trait and how that could best help him as he enters year two as the quarterback for the Bills. And leading the way right now, not surprisingly, is athleticism and playmaking ability with about 45% of the vote on the Twitter poll. But competitive spirit is making a fierce charge here, up to 34% of the vote. And I think, you know, people are reminded of some of the instances in his rookie season where Josh, quite frankly, just laid out. I mean, everybody remembers the hurdle move in the Minnesota game. Does anybody remember the 14-yard scramble for a touchdown in that game where he ran out to the left and just reached out for the pylon? That's laying out for your team, too. Had a handful of physical quarterback sneaks on some fourth downs through the course of the season to keep drives alive. And that all goes back to competitive spirit almost even more than the athleticism, although the hurdle move is unquestionably athleticism and playmaking ability. So those two things are kind of leading the charge right now. But leadership is, you know, not completely being discounted and I think is still an underrated part of Josh's game because he has an innate ability to rally people because he is so engaging as a person and so inclusive, too. And I've seen this over the years, too, with Bills quarterbacks. You know, some can be effective in leading an offense, but their leadership capabilities don't cross over sides of the ball. Josh's does. Anybody in that locker room, Josh can relate to in a very positive and collaborative way. And I think that's why guys on the defensive side of the ball, including Lorenzo Alexander, who we just heard in the last segment on the Lowdown, every last guy on the defensive side of the ball has just as much respect for him as on the offensive side, not only because they know what he means to the fortunes of their team, but because of the person that he is in that room. You know, he's not this swashbuckling, yeah, look at me, I'm the guy kind of person. He wants to be the everyman in that locker room. And I think that's still an underrated part of what Josh brings to the table in totality. But I promised that we would get to the tweet sheet, and we're going to do that now here, presented by Corrigan Moving Systems. And the first one comes from Tiffany. She said, "You had a feeling he was special when he leapt over Barr in Minnesota," talking about the hurdle jump there in week three. His athleticism is in a class of its own. In my opinion, there isn't another quarterback in the league to compare him with. He runs like a premier running back, has a cannon for a right arm. It's a ton of fun watching him play." So clearly, Tiffany voting for athleticism and playmaking ability. This one from Jack. He says, "At almost 6'6 and 240 with a howitzer on his right shoulder and that kind of speed and agility, along with his willingness to take a hit and keep his head downfield and throw a laser off his back foot, how can anyone argue against his athleticism as his best trait, much like Cam Newton in that way?" Right. And I think it's interesting because a lot of people have put those two players on a parallel path. But when you think about it, look at where Cam Newton now is in his career in 2019. This is his eighth NFL season. Just coming off major shoulder surgery, and in the last couple of years, not running nearly as much as he did early in his career. So I think the Bills as an organization, and being wholly familiar with the trajectory of Cam Newton's career, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott chief among them, I think they know that the sooner they can get Josh to being a pocket quarterback who can make plays with his arm, extend plays with his leg out of the pocket, but not running downfield, I think they know the longevity of his career will be preserved more or more effectively because of that. So as much as his career might parallel Cam Newton's, it wouldn't surprise me at all if this offensive staff and the coaching staff in general are trying to put him on a fast track to get to being the pocket guy that doesn't take quite as many hits out in the open field where people can really line up and tee off on him. We got to take a break. We'll be back on the other side of the top of the hour here. Got a sports update coming up here for you as well, as we've got a signing by the Sabres that's worth a note. So we will get to that. But more of your calls, more of your tweets, as we discuss Josh Allen's best trait as he enters year two as quarterback of the Bills. I'll be back with you on the other side. This is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.